ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 17 एंटाइटल्ड द डिविजन्स ऑफ फेथ टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। सत्कारमान पूजार्थम् तपोदम्भेन चैव यत् क्रियते तद्यः प्रोक्तम् राजसं चलमध्रुवम्। सत्कारमान पूजार्थम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पुरपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। Penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor and worship is said to be in the mode of passion. It is neither stable nor permanent. Purport. Sometimes penance and austerity are executed to attract people and receive honor, respect and worship from others. Persons in the mode of passion arrange to be worshipped by subordinates and let them wash their feet and offer riches. Such arrangements artificially made by the performance of penances are considered to be the mode of passion. The results are temporary. They can be continued for some time, but they are not permanent. Translation once again. Penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor and worship is said to be the mode of passion. It is neither stable nor permanent. Satkara mana pujartham tapo dambhena chaivayat kriyate tadya proktam rajasam chalamadhruvam. So Krishna is describing the tapasya or penance that is considered to be in the mode of passion. When someone performs austerity or tapasya for the sake of gaining respect, honor and worship, such a kind of tapasya or austerity is called austerity in the mode of passion. Now if you see today's society, the amount of tapasya that the people are performing is only increasing day by day. It's not that tapasya is only performed by people in religious circles. Tapasya means something which one won't do normally, but he does it to gain something. Some voluntary trouble taken by someone to gain something. That is tapasya, austerity. One takes voluntary trouble which he normally wouldn't take. So if we see in today's society, who would like to travel by local trains in peak hours? Nobody. Given a choice, would anyone like to travel in the local train in peak hours? No. But why are people traveling? To gain something. So they are all performing tapasya. They are all tapasvis. So there are millions of tapasvis doing tapasya in the local trains in the morning and evening in Bombay. Given a choice, who would like to work? That to work for 12 hours, 13 hours, 14 hours per day. But so many people are forced to work for 12, 13, 14 hours per day in today's society. So they are all tapasvis. And who would like to be shut in a box in the hot summer in a traffic jam? If you see, every evening thousands, if not lakhs of people are caught in traffic jams in Bombay. Who would like to voluntarily do it? Given a choice, would anyone like to be in a traffic jam? No. So they are all tapasvis. So many people are doing tapasya. So it's not that only when a person tries to attain the Supreme Lord, he performs tapasya. Even to survive in today's society, lot of tapasya is required. Simply to barely survive, tapasya is required. But the difference is in the difference of motivations. People in religious circles, especially those in Krishna consciousness, perform tapasya with the goal of attaining transcendental realization, of wanting to understand the Supreme Lord, to gain supreme happiness. Sukham akshayam ashnute, the Bhagavad Gita describes, unlimited happiness. To attain that, people in Krishna consciousness or on the path of bhakti yoga, they perform tapasya. But people in general, most people in Bombay, they are performing tapasya every day. Morning, evening, throughout the day, they are performing tapasya simply for bare survival. So tapasya is unavoidable. And regarding this particular aspect of the motivation of performing tapasya that Krishna speaks about here, penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor and worship is said to be in the mode of passion. This kind of penance and austerities is all pervading in today's society. People perform tapasya to gain honor, respect and worship. That is commonly seen. In fact, people are trained to perform such tapasya. If you see the educational system of today, recent news, so many students are committing suicide because so much of competition in the educational system. Now, what is going on in the educational system in today's society? Student life is a life of austerity or tapasya. A student doesn't like to study. No student likes to study. But there is extreme degree of tapasya or austerity. Students have to go out of the way to complete their studies in today's society. So much of austerity they have to undergo. First of all, they have to carry so many books every day. They have to travel so much in places like Bombay. Then so much of mental stress they have to undergo. And so much of strain to clear the exams. So much workload, so much pressure, so many submissions. Even children, 5th standard, 6th standard, they have to submit projects. I was hearing, they have to submit projects. And so much of stress. So much of tapasya the students have to undergo. But what is the motivation behind the tapasya? To gain honor, worship and respect. They want to stand first in class. That is the motivation. So the whole educational system, it is bringing out a class of citizens in society, because those who are today in schools and colleges are going to be the leaders of tomorrow. And especially the leaders of tomorrow are going to be the toppers in colleges and schools today. Those who are toppers in the colleges and schools today are going to be the leaders of tomorrow's society. And the toppers in colleges and schools today are performing tapasya with what motivation? With the motivation of gaining respect, honor and worship. Especially those who are toppers. This is their motivation. Someone who is at a lower rank in a school or a college, His motivation behind performing the tapasya of studying very hard is to clear the examinations maybe. But those who are toppers, especially, their motivation behind performing the tapasya or austerity is to gain respect, honor and worship. Which Krishna is describing in today's verse. And this is their training throughout their childhood. Right from LKG, UKG, 1st standard, 10th standard, they are performing great tapasya or austerity with the motivation of gaining honor, worship and respect. And then they go to college. And again they continue performing their tapasya with the sole motivation of gaining honor, respect and worship. And once they complete their education, because they are toppers, they become the leaders of society. And when leaders have this mentality, what is the mentality? Of performing tapasya or austerity for gaining honor, respect and worship, then it is very dangerous. How is it dangerous? That has to be understood. Now, gaining honor, respect and worship, what does it mean basically? It basically means that I am above the rest. I am better than others. That is the mentality. So the whole austerity and all the tapasya is being performed to feel oneself better than others. So the whole motivation is how I can feel better than others. Now there are two ways of becoming better than others. It is like a teacher, this famous story, a teacher drew a line on the board and she asked the students, make this line longer. Now one way of doing it is take a chalk and extend the line. But the teacher said no. What is the other way of making the line longer? To draw a shorter line by the side of the longer line. Naturally, the original line becomes longer. So the natural consequence of such a psychology of wanting to feel better than others is to feel happy seeing someone come down or see someone else miserable or see someone else suffering. So imagine the whole educational system in today's world is creating a class of leaders who have got a natural psychology of finding pleasure while seeing the miseries of others. It may not be very gross, but in a very subtle level. Of course, it is seen at a very gross level in recent history. It has been seen. For example, Hitler, what was his psychology? The way he killed his Jews, killed the Jews in innovative ways, just to make them suffer more and more. He derived a special kind of joy, see them suffer. It's a subtle kind of enjoyment, which naturally arises from this psychology. Stalin, when he was asked, what's your greatest pleasure in life? He said, when someone comes in front of me who completely puts faith in me, he thinks me to be his best well-wisher. He comes in front of me and then I take out a revolver and I kill him. So the expression I see on his face, that expression of shock and utter misery and suffering, that expression will give me the greatest pleasure in life. That is the psychology. A kind of happiness that one derives by seeing the suffering of others. And a recent American president, who waged wars against so-called terrorism. When he was a child, he used to enjoy sports with frogs. What kind of sports? He used to tie firecrackers to the legs of frogs, and then he used to put the firecracker ablaze, and then he used to enjoy seeing the frog blast in midair. So this was his sports in his childhood. So naturally, when he became the President of the United States, he enjoyed waging wars against so-called terrorism. Now, there might be justifications for war, but when a leader enjoys war, then that is troublesome to society. And when leaders have been trained in such a psychological way since their childhood, naturally they will have a tendency to enjoy wars. Naturally they will have a tendency to enjoy the sufferings of others. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. Because the other side of wanting honor and prestige is to feel happy seeing the suffering of others. So we should know that this kind of mindset is first of all most prominent in the leaders of today's society, but such a mindset is all pervading in one sense. And that is the reason the newspaper is filled with sadistic news. Because people may not admit it openly, but there is a subtle kind of suffering, subtle kind of pleasure which people derive when they hear about the suffering of others. We might experience it ourselves. People who are in our close circles, when something bad happens in their life, there is a subtle kind of joy that we experience. It's a fact. Any honest person will admit it. So many students committed suicide in recent times. It would be interesting to find statistics of how many of their classmates felt a kind of joy when they heard their classmate had committed suicide. Because this kind of psychology is common in today's society, because everyone is coming up in the same educational system, wherein the very training is how I can be better than others. The whole idea is how I can work hard and perform austerity so that I'll feel myself better than others. And because everyone is trained in such a psychological mindset, naturally this kind of psychology of feeling happy at the misery and sufferings of others is all pervading in today's society. The gossip magazines, what are they all about? It's all about how this person got into this scandal, that person got into this scandal. People derive a special taste by discussing it. And the journalists and the publishers, they all know what sells. Such news sells. Speaking about the suffering and the downfall of people, this kind of news sells. They know it. Why it sells? Because people enjoy reading it. Another consequence of such a psychology is animal slaughter. Now, in some parts of the world, for example in Europe, recently it has reduced. Such psychology was openly seen. It is called zoo sadism. Zoo sadism means entertainment by giving suffering to animals. One kind of zoo sadism was you put many cats in a net and people have a bonfire and they put the net filled with cats, they bring it close to the bonfire and finally put it inside the bonfire. And as the cats in the net are shouting, howling and screaming within the net, and they're burnt to carbon, the people, they have got an entertainment and they scream in joy, in happiness, because that deep desire, that desire is there somewhere deep rooted of finding joy, seeing the suffering of others. And naturally you cannot do it with human beings. So the easy targets are animals. Another kind of zoo sadism is with bulls, bullfighting. Bullfighting is nothing but bulls. They fight with each other and they're in a miserable situation and then they die and human beings are having a nice time. Now things are still better off, because in the past, especially during the Greek period, they used to build huge stadiums where they used to have gladiators fight. That is, two slaves would fight with each other and people used to watch it. And when one slave would defeat another slave, the people used to insist that the defeated slave be killed. They wouldn't be satisfied unless the defeated slave was actually killed. So actually, at least such gross expression of such a psychology is not so prevalent in today's society. More or less these things are banned. But nonetheless, the psychology continues to exist. Sometimes in extreme cases, but most of the time in subtle ways. It's there in everybody. Some express it openly. For example, during the recent terrorist attacks, those people who were caught within the Taj, they were caught within the Taj for a few days before they were killed. And what they underwent during those 2-3 days, the doctors who performed the post-mortem of the dead bodies, they can say how they were brutally tortured by the terrorists. Their skins were peeled off and they were tortured in unspoken ways. Even the doctors, they want to forget the post-mortem which they performed. Brutal murder. The terrorists, they can just kill those people who are taken as hostages. But no, these hostages had to be brutally tortured before being killed, because there is a pleasure that they derived by inflicting suffering upon those people who are under them. So these terrorists openly express that psychology of feeling happiness seeing the suffering of others. But everybody more or less has this psychology to a greater or lesser extent of feeling some kind of happiness, some kind of pleasure when we hear about the suffering of others, especially those within our close circles. When they undergo suffering, when they undergo failures or something bad happens in their life, there is a feeling of subtle fulfillment and subtle satisfaction that we experience. Why? Because that is our upbringing. And the main blame goes to the educational system, as I was telling. Because people are trained to nurture this psychology of wanting to feel better than others. So when you can't become better than others, at least become happy when other people go below their own standards. So the process of true spirituality discovers the psychological disorder in its roots and tries to cure it. For example, in the Krishna book, when Krishna was performing his pastimes, Krishna was happily playing with his friends. They used to play all day long, Krishna with his covered boyfriends, various kinds of wonderful sports they used to play. And they used to have a nice time in the forest. But one day, a demon called Aghasur came. And this particular demon, Aghasur, when he saw the happiness of Krishna and his covered boyfriends, he became extremely unhappy. Seeing them happy, he couldn't tolerate their happiness. And he desired to kill them all. Now in the Vedas, such a psychology is openly called demoniac. A person with such a psychology is called a demon. But in today's world, people with such psychology are leaders most of the times. And such a psychology is considered to be normal. That is a sorry plight of today's society. So this Aghasur, he opened his mouth wanting to swallow, because he had come in the form of a huge snake, 8 miles long. So he opened his huge mouth, and Krishna's friends, they thought, oh, even if he's a big snake, Krishna will protect us. So let's explore what is there in the snake's mouth. Let's have some fun. And they entered the mouth of this Aghasura demon, who was in the form of a snake. And very soon Krishna entered. And because Krishna entered, the demon was purified. And after Krishna entered the demon's mouth, he killed the demon. And the demon attained liberation. Sarupya Mukti, the Srimad Bhagavatam says. Another instance of someone expressing such a psychology, the episode comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the story of Mrigari the hunter. One day Narad Muni was passing through the forest and he found a few animals hurt by arrows. They were injured by arrows, but they were not completely killed, they were half killed and they were suffering. So as he went through the forest, he found many animals who were half killed and who were suffering. So he became intrigued. Who is this person? Who is this hunter causing such suffering to these animals? So he found this hunter. His name was Mrigari. So he went and asked this hunter, sir, why are you doing this? If you are a hunter, why don't you fully kill the animals? Why half kill them? He said, I have fun doing it. When I see them suffer, and when they suffer and then die, I gain joy by seeing that happen. So Narad Muni, he saw he had a distorted psychology. And so he gave him the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He told him to chant the holy names of Lord. And Mrigari, he accepted the advice of Narad Muni, because Narad Muni also gave him an understanding of what suffering he will undergo if he continued such activities. He gave him a feeling of the suffering which he will undergo after death because of his inflicting suffering upon other animals. And because he got that experience by the grace of Narad Muni, he gave up that hunting. And he took to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And after a few days, Narad Muni returned to the same place to where Mrigari was. And Mrigari had been chanting the holy names of the Lord. So as soon as he saw Narad Muni, he wanted to come close to Narad Muni to meet him. But as he was coming, suddenly he got on the floor and started doing something. And Narad Muni asked Mrigari, what are you doing? And Mrigari explained to Narad Muni that there were certain ants crawling on the floor and I didn't want to hurt those ants while walking. So I wanted to put the ants aside before I came and met you. And Narad Muni understood that the same person who was causing such suffering to animals and was deriving joy out of that suffering is now not wanting to cause suffering even to the small ants. That was the transformation that Mrigari underwent simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. So the scriptures of the Krishna consciousness movement and the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they not just pinpoint this distorted psychology of the people of this world, this distorted psychology of feeling joy, seeing the suffering of others. They pinpoint this defect. At the same time, they give a solution. And the solution is practice of devotional service of Bhakti Yoga or the practice of Krishna consciousness. So in today's society, people feel the educational system is progressive. But the educational system is unfortunately bringing out and nurturing such a distorted psychology. So with this educational system, Krishna consciousness education, which involves education pertaining to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, should also be introduced to counteract this psychological disorder. It is mandatory. Otherwise, we are heading towards a world where people are going through this particular educational system, where they are trained to develop such a psychology of wanting to feel better than others, which means you want to feel happy seeing the suffering of others. And what to speak of a society filled with such citizens? If the society has leaders with such a distorted psychology, what will be the future of this world? The future will be infested with wars, naturally. Because you will have leaders who like wars. Because wars will give them an opportunity to enjoy the suffering of others. So if we want a future free from wars and free from an atmosphere of feeling happy seeing the sufferings of others, then this Krishna consciousness is mandatory to be introduced right in the educational system. So that even when the child is growing up, he's got the right mentality. He understands that this is a wrong thing to feel happy seeing others suffer. It's a wrong thing to feel happy feeling myself better than others. It's a wrong thing to perform austerity for the sake of gaining respect, honor and worship. Such education is foundational for a bright future, for a happy society in the future. Thank you very much. Any questions anyone has? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.